Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Eggnog. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Brick.
Hi, I'm Brick.
Yes. We've got Dave.
Hey, boys.
And we do have Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Calling from Old Ireland.
The land of fun and luck.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as alcoholism and gambling.
A paradise. It's end of the year. It's time to wrap 2019 up and send it off to get buried and die. So we must reflect on the year. And I thought we might reflect on the year by thinking about the one piece of writing that you read this calendar year that you thought was the best or the most important or most interesting to you, whatever sort of metric you want to use here. And I said that could be anything you read, not just books. So like comic, article, tweet, if you read a really good limerick on a bathroom stall, anything that you thought was really effective or compelling counts in this category. I just want to hear what you thought was the best writing you read all year. Let's start with...
Okay, just to be clear though, like if one of us says that the best... writing that they read all year was a tweet, they're off the podcast, right?
This is a subtle test. Who stays on?
I didn't really do a scientific thing, but I looked through my Audible history. And so it's I guess between three different fantasy series, which who thought I would be in this position, but I think my favorite for the year was a series called The Divine Cities, which is a kind of a cross-genre trilogy, and it's kind of fantasy and then the plot is mostly mystery in all three books, and like the writer does a pretty clever job of making the mystery different, but like each one is definitely a mystery. So that would be my number one. And then I'm also reading the Lightbringer series, which is pretty good. And I read The Dagger and the Coin, which is by one of the guys that writes the Expanse series, which is also pretty good.
Oh yeah, James S. and A.
Corey.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Which, by the way, the Expanse TV show just had a new season come out 2 days ago, and that's pretty good. That's the best sci-fi show on TV, I think.
Yeah, I still need to try and get into that. We talked about it last time, or several episodes ago, and I still want to try it, but I have not. But one day. Dave, what about you? What is your best reading of the year?
Like I said before we got on air, I assumed that my favorite reading experience of the year would come from one of my favorite Stuarts, Dibbick or Onan. Sure. So I quick ran through my list, and yeah, it's Stuart Onan. It's a short novel, longer than Last Night at the Lobster, which we all read and discussed and enjoyed. Yep. It's called A Prayer for the Dying, set in 1870s, I think, rural Wisconsin, shortly after the Civil War. It's second-person narration, which we also just talked about recently, but he does it really well, somehow holds that together. It's absolutely brutal and violent. It's got, like, plague that wipes out a whole town. There's cannibalism, there's necrophilia, there's like an all-consuming fire. It's just like batshit crazy and dark, but really beautiful. It's like in a similar style to Lobster, like his, I don't remember quite how he described it, but like, you know, concise, I guess. He's not all that flowery. Yeah. He just takes you right through the story, and boy, this is one of those books that I finished it and I turned back to page one and immediately read through the whole thing again.
Wow. Huh. That's just because I feel like the content there is... I associate Stuart Onan with gentler material these days.
Yeah, with like quiet.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, the next Onan I read was called Emily Alone, and it's just about an elderly woman just like living her life. It's like a few weeks or a few months of her life. And
right.
It's just really quiet and like nothing really happens.
Yeah.
But... just kind of like at Lobster too.
Right.
But this is sort of the opposite. I mean, most of it is, you know, he gets really deep into the character, the you
right,
character.
Right.
So it's not like a genre book at all. There's just all sorts of shit happening to him. So we see how it changes him, how it affects him. We see everything through his lens, but also, I guess, kind of through ours because of how it's written.
Right.
But boy, yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah, this on my list for sure.
Dave, how much shitty MFA fiction do you think Stuart Onan is responsible for? Because it seems like he writes these books that look easy. He's like the quintessential, like, it looks easy, but then you try to do it and it's way harder than you think. Like, if an MFA student tries to write a book in second person or a book about a chain restaurant, 99 out of 100 are going to be complete trash.
I guess, but maybe for that reason, we might say thankfully. I don't think he's read that widely.
Hmm.
Like, I don't see a lot of MFA students reading Stuart O'Neill.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, don't see, like, I don't, obviously, I don't observe it. I don't imagine that a lot of MFA students read Stuart O'Neill. And, you know, this book, I don't think it made any kind of, you know, impact when it came out. It's just like, it feels like he's the kind of writer who has his regular readers, and other than that, he's not going to reach a great big new audience if he comes out with a
right.
book. But yeah, you're right. If he did have that big audience, there would be a lot of people trying to write like that, and it would be right. a nightmare.
Terrible.
Yeah, like, Nico, you're right that, like, that's a really hard casualness to pull off, right? A really sort of hard, and it's not simplicity, but sort of like, it's, like Dave said, it's simple, or not simple, it's concise, right? And that's such a difficult thing to make come across as easy and effortless like he does.
Right.
Brick, what about you?
I almost picked It by Stephen King because that's why, but I didn't finish it. So I read 400 pages of it, so I ought to count it as reading a book. But that's sure. the first Stephen King book that, well, I read it as a kid that I've gone back to that feels like an actual book and not a Stephen King book, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like that.
Huh.
Are you reading it now, or are you?
It's sitting by my bed, and I read 50 or 100 pages every month or two. And I've been like slowly chipping at it for like a year at this point. So, but what I'm going to pick as the best book I read this year was, which we talked about either the last time I recorded or the time before that, The Painted Bird by Jerzy Kosinski, which was written in 1964.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say there.
The Tommy Orange book. I think that was a little outside this year, because I think that's the book I picked last year when we had this conversation. That book was very good. This book knocked me on my ass, though. I picked it up not knowing what it was, literally because I just had been in a bookstore for pushing an hour and I couldn't find anything to read. So finally I was like, I'm going to read this. And then it was just fabulous. It's one of those books where, like, I really feel like I ought to have read it, and a lot of people ought to have read it.
Huh.
And I not only hadn't read it, I had never heard of it. So, which is a shame. It's one of the best World War II books I've ever read. And it's just kind of one of the best books about, like, how shitty humans are that I've ever read. But in a way that sort of manages to kind of celebrate the humanness basically in the absence of humanity. It's I mean, there's parts of this book that are very hard to stomach. It's brutal and violent and sad. But it's very well written, it's very powerful, it's very affecting. So I recommend.
Was it on that Modern Library list that we went down a few months ago?
I remember it being on there.
I don't think so, yeah.
But man, like, this is like, people should read this book, you know. It's right up there with Slaughterhouse-Five, I think, is best World War II books. At least that I've read. Hmm. Or fiction, anyone.
How much do you think you're just kind of like stumbling into it affected your take? Because my fear would be like that one of us reads it and we're expecting like a Slaughterhouse-Five, and then we're like...
It's not a Slaughterhouse-Five. It's more like a Heart of Darkness.
Okay.
It's like that kind of... look, some people, when I bought it, the woman at the cash register talked about reading it in high school, which I hope it wasn't assigned to her in high school, because that teacher should have been fired. But some of it, surely, Nico, was me not expecting it and then being kind of caught with the left hook. But that doesn't. It's good. I mean, it's
cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Mine is similar in the sense that question's a good one, because mine, I think, did also benefit from not knowing anything and having not preconceptions, but sort of just like I didn't come into it loaded with information. I had a couple runners up to this category. My first runner up was Last Night the Lobster, which I really loved, that we discussed at length in an episode about a year ago from today, or from when this was recorded. A really fabulous book. I also thought about or considered the comic series House of X and Powers of X, which I really enjoyed and am currently still enjoying the kind of new X-Men series based on those. But my pick has to be Malcolm Lowry's Under the Volcano, a book that I had heard of but had never really known too much about. And that Emmy game we played about famous endings of novels spurred me on, because the last sentence was so surprising and I had to figure out, why did a dead dog end up in a ditch or a ravine or whatever it is? And I found out, and it was a really surprising and beautiful and difficult novel that, again, we talked about quite a bit before, and we'll talk about probably again, because I know that Dave and Brick are reading it, and Nico might start reading it too, maybe?
We kind of stumbled into a bit of a book club.
Feels like no. But you also got a new drink out of it, right? The
Mezcalito, yeah.
What is the Mezcalito? Very
good. It's like mezcal and orange juice, and I think lime juice too. And it's good. And I watched the movie recently. The John Huston made a movie of it in, the, I think, 1980 with Albert Finney as the consul. And it was good. Not great, not a brilliant movie, but a really good adaptation of what would be, I think, a very hard to adapt novel. The plot of Under the Volcano is, I think, worthy of deeper consideration. And I want to read it again and spend more time with what I assume is a sort of a deeper political message that I only got bits and parts of because I just didn't have enough information to draw on there. But the prose style is what really took me with that novel. Lowry's prose is strange and beautiful and just full of information. I really couldn't get enough of it. There are sentences that I highlighted or underlined, and I never do that in books. I just don't. I'm not a bookmarker upper necessarily, and I felt compelled to because there was just so much going on there. Looking forward to a discussion of the novel sometime in the future with my fellow Yank babies.
Do you think you're going to reread it before we talk about it or not?
I would like to. I might just kind of do some like targeted reading of certain passages and just try and do something like that. I'm not sure I have enough time to tackle the whole thing, but I would like to, and then sort of have our more informed discussion. I might end up reading like scholarship about it.
I like it quite a bit. I haven't gotten that far.
Did the movie clarify anything for you that was confusing in the book?
It confirmed that I was right. There's some things I was like, is that what I think it was? And we're just like, yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
But the movie gets the plot, and then it kind of leaves a lot of stuff unsaid, which I think, you know, by nature of medium, but does help clarify some of the plot points. Yeah, don't be put off by the first chapter. The first chapter is the hardest one to, I think, process. The rest of it kind of
Comes at you with a lot, but just the writing is good enough that it kind of grabbed me.
Yeah, and that first description of Yvonne coming to the city again, arriving in Mexico, that whole chapter and section is breathtaking.
What else has Malcolm Lowry written? Anything we'd know?
A bunch of stuff we'd never heard of.
Last time, I walked into a minefield this one last time. I got every answer to this question wrong, and I haven't studied enough to know the answers this time properly. But I know he has written other things. I think a novel called Submarine is well known, and other things too. This is certainly his most famous work.
Okay.
Or most celebrated. But it seems like from when I've sort of did some reading after finishing the novel, that there's a, you know, small subset of Lowry diehards, people who are obsessed with Under the Volcano, especially with his life and his prose. There's a documentary called An Investigation into the Death of Malcolm Lowry about just like his life and what happened to him.
Huh.
So it seems like similar people who were like really into James Joyce, kind of the same thing. People are really into Malcolm Lowry, which makes sense because I think that his prose has that kind of Joycean feel to it. There's really long, complicated passages.
Well, you lost me with that.
But maybe there's maybe a good audiobook narrated by some compelling English person.
This sounds like exactly the wrong kind of audiobook to listen to. Like you'd space out for 10 seconds and you'd be completely lost.
Yeah, you'd be totally iced that one. Last wrapping up question. Is there anything you're looking forward to reading in 2020? Anything you're sort of excited to read that you sort of have on the horizon, or it's going to come out in 2020 that you're excited about? Anything you have planned?
Well, I am looking forward to reading more of Into the Volcano, but also, what do you guys think Ian McEwan's new book is about?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Is it the cockroach one?
This is a good game.
Yeah, this guy's becoming a joke quickly.
It's about a cockroach?
No, just guess. It is called The Cockroach, okay. Yeah.
So it's called The Cockroach.
That'll give you a little hint if you take the pattern of his last few.
I'm going to guess that in the future, there's a cockroach that has gained like sentience and he is performing an opera, and the novel is the story of the production of the opera from the perspective of the cockroach's understudy, who was a normal,
much more derivative than that.
Okay, wow.
I'm gonna say it's a retelling of Franz Kafka's The Metamorphosis from the point of view of an unborn fetus.
Oh, you were so close. It is a retelling of Franz Kafka's The Metamorphosis while also being about Brexit.
Oh, boy.
Right? The cockroach wakes up and he's like a politician in England, right? Like, or maybe
he's the prime minister and he's got a Brexit.
Yeah.
So it's just one big, long Boris Johnson joke. Or I guess it couldn't even be that because he must have started writing it before
It's unreal. That dude, someone needs to tell him just to go back to writing real books.
You're good. Yeah.
Did he be
like, yeah, you're good enough to write books without gimmicks, dude. Just go ahead and
right.
Stop.
Oh boy. Did any of you read the descriptions or like the bits from that Dave Eggers novel about Trump? Holy shit. You should read them. The passages are pretty bad. He's written a new novel that's like a satire of Trump. It's about like a pirate captain or something like that. And it sounds atrocious. Yeah,
it's
like
too soon.
The God. Most on the nose, like first thought, best thought satire ever. Yeah. God.
Whatever happened to David Eggers? I remember he had that first book that was really a memoir, but it was like a fictionalized memoir. I actually kind of liked his second book.
Is that What Is the What? Because that book was great.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that book too.
And then I have no idea what happened.
Ooh, The Cockroach is out. I guess I'll be reading this soon.
Well, you know someone in your family will buy
That's
it.
That's true. I'll probably get it for Christmas.
Fingers crossed. Why don't you just tell us your address in the podcast real quick? Maybe one of our loyal listeners will buy it for you.
I like that now it's become a punishment for you, so you have to get a new EMQ in book every year.
Oh, my God. Listen to this.
It's going to suck.
Listen to this is the second line of the New York Times review. It's been difficult to miss Ian McEwan. The Cockroach, his satirical new Brexit novella, is his second book this year and third in 3 years. The Cockroach is so toothless and wan that it may drive readers away in long apocalyptic caravans.
Wow.
Wow.
Who was the critic on that one?
Dwight Garner.
Ugh, okay. Fucking Dwight Garner. I hate Dwight Garner.
Oh, that's fucking harsh, man.
Dwight Garner is the one who's kind of famous for not actually reading the books. He'll read like the first like quarter of them and then kind of just assume shit. He writes terrible reviews.
Maybe it gets better in the last three quarters.
Yeah, he used to be a movie reviewer and then he got demoted and I don't think he likes to read.
Good. He's an illiterate
book writer. Fuck that guy.
All
right,
well.
Okay, so Brick, you're looking forward to, in quotes, reading the new Ian McEwan novel?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to reading Into the Volcano. I've started it and I really like it.
Oh, right, that right. Yeah, gotcha. Nico, what about you? What are you looking forward to reading in 2020?
Well, there's... So you guys know who George R. R. Martin is?
Yeah, I think so.
The Game of Thrones guy who was supposed to... He was supposed to finish his fifth book, or sixth book, maybe, in that series.
I thought he was kidding.
In 2013 or something. Still no sign of it.
Right.
The opposite of him is an insane Mormon writer named Brandon Sanderson, who writes literally, I would say like 500,000 words a year. And so he's coming out with a new probably 400,000 word installment of a insane fantasy series that's probably it. But mostly just because that's the only thing I actually know. That's coming out next year. I haven't looked ahead to anything else.
Sure. Dave, what about you?
I've ad nauseum talked about Kevin Barry. He put out a book in somewhere in the mid-fall called Night Boat to Tangier.
It's supposed to be excellent.
It was. It's really good, but I had to read it more hurriedly than I would have wanted to, so I've been looking forward to reading it again, and I'm going to do that as soon... Maybe not immediately after Under the Volcano, but shortly into 2020 for sure. Because I really liked it a lot, but I didn't really get to, I don't know, savor it as much as I would have liked to.
That one's on my list too. Right. So
he's fucking great, man. I know you didn't dig Beetlebone, but everything he does to me is excellent.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that one for book club.
Yeah, totally.
Not a bad idea. All right. Happy 2020.
Oh, well, my real quick is...
fuck yeah, man.
I hope it's a future tweet by somebody.
Aaron's not going to live in 2020.
I hope you pick a tweet.
Yeah, I did pick a tweet. I'm looking forward to, there's a new Tom King and Mitch Garrett's comic coming out in 2020 called Strange Adventures about Adam Strange. This time they're also joined by an illustrator named Evan Shaner. And I liked Mr. Miracle a lot. We got Dave to read it. I think Brick either started or was going to read it, maybe. I can't wait for more of that, just to see what they're going to do. I've heard... couple things about it. They've been pretty mum on the promotion, but what has been released has been really interesting. So I'm looking forward to more of what tends to be pretty sort of sad, but like brutal comics. So yeah
I'll say I also look forward to finally finishing Mr. Miracle. I'm still on issue 10, I think, 10 or 11. It's been so long, but I was really enjoying it. So
right.
I need a new comic to read. Is that what I should read?
It's good, man.
Definitely pick that up. It's great. Okay, now we can say happy 2020. We'll see all that. Find us on Twitter at YakBabies and then email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com and tell us what your favorite reads or future anticipatory reads for 2020 are. We also are on Patreon, patreon.com/yakbabies. There's a lot of bonus content going on Patreon, games and outtakes and bro-to-bro segments and things that you probably shouldn't hear but are recorded anyway are all there for you to consume for $1 a month. You can get access to a whole ton of bonus content from Yak Babies. Until then, Yak Babies.
Definitely write us emails. Someone, I should say the name, someone wrote us a really nice email. 3, 2, 1.
Listener mail.
We're opening up the mailbag. It's time to see what's inside. You wrote stuff and we're going to say what we want to say back to it. You are such wonderful people and we love you. We want to marry you. Let's get married. Let's go right now and get married.
We got a we got a great email from a fan named Andrew, and it was a very pleasant email to read, so we thank him. And he also suggested us doing an episode on The Watchmen.
Yeah, we're going to do that for sure.
We talked about The Watchmen. We mostly talked about the crappy movie and not the book for a book podcast. That was a bit of a faux pas. So we have read it and we like it, and we're going to maybe revisit it. And then apparently the new TV show, according to Nico, is pretty good, the sequel show. So maybe we'll do a Watchmen episode. Looking forward to
it. Yeah, Aaron, are you reading that? Or are you watching that?
Yeah, I've watched
that.
Are
you watching The Watchmen?
All right. Now you can yak us off.
With two hands and my throat. Yak Babies, yak it off.
Yikes.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.